Welcome to If You've Come This Far. This is the podcast that Sean and I do where we set out to have conversations with interesting people who are trying to live bigger, better, more impactful lives. And we like to describe it differently every time we hop on this show.
We don't even know how to describe it.
We don't know how to describe it. We also don't want to be terribly scripted, which I think that listeners learn early on.
Yeah, right? I wonder if people listen to this, they're like, oh, what are they going to come up with for an opening this time? And it's like, it's so annoying.
Well, it'd be great if we could put like a bookmark right after our intro and jump straight to the and then to watch what the people's behavior is, because I think a lot of people are just
fast. You can definitely fast forward the intro, right?
Yeah, you can. I think, and this is a total tangent, but I think a lot of the reason why podcasts have such reach is because people spend so much time in the car. Right. So you don't want to be fiddling with fast forwarding in the car. And this is why, like, I've seen people do webinars. I'm like, you can't watch a webinar while you're driving. Right.
Are we talking about webinars?
Just because driving cars is a big source of the audience for podcasts.
Yeah. That's when you're dating yourself. Do they even do webinars anymore?
Yes, dude. They do webinars. Yes, really? It's still a thing. But also, not only that, but there are still a lot of podcasters who will keep the video, and you can watch.
I know, right? No, people are dying for us to release video. I think. They're not.
That might be the overstatement of the century. People are dying to see us.
Really?
Let's continue the intro. I am talking to Sean, who is somewhere in the mountain time zone, in the middle of a couple trips, and he's talking to us through his AirPods, so the audio may be a little bit clunky, but it is what it, we got to get shit done.
We do it for our people.
We do it for our people, the people who are dying to see us. and so let's see, we're here to introduce the episode in which we talk to Lauren and Michelle, sister project, who Sean tracked down, and I'll let Sean say a few more words about them.
Well, tracked down, I mean, first heard Lauren and Michelle on Zen Parenting Radio, our friends Todd and Kathy, and then they showed up at the Zen Parenting Conference, and just gave it the energy, the talk about the whole vibe of the Sister Project is about living your life as fully as you can and going slow and taking every moment. And so we're like, okay, you have to come and talk to us. And it was a riot. It was a lot of fun. They're really smart and engaging, and just like I knew it would be. And so anyway, bought their candles. They sell candles. The candles are great.
It only occurred to me, I don't know, I don't think it occurred to me while we were talking to them, but we're talking about two very high energy women.
Yeah. Right. We're trying to chill. We're like, oh,
we're trying to chill.
Chill. Right.
Right. Which is, which I love. And like, I don't think I could keep up with them for more than the hour that we spoke with them, because they're just, you know, they still, I guess maybe it's just like conversationally and intellectually, they still move pretty fast.
Yeah.
And we move pretty slow.
That's why their whole slow roll thing just is perfect for us. But they're not slow rolling. I mean, we're doing this intro. I'm in Jackson. You're in Chicago, coming back from California. I mean.
Yeah, we're movers and shakers.
We're in motion.
Sure.
We're in motion.
We're in motion. I did, because I just pulled up the recording of the interview last night. I listened to the first 5 minutes of it and laughed out loud, but like belly laugh like three different times. So it was definitely a lot of fun. And we spent a lot of time talking with them about their taking care of their mother who died from dementia. So that was, I think that's shaped a lot of the way they're approaching life these days. So Anything else?
Right now I'm envisioning somebody said, honey, how do I do the fast forward on this intro? So I can get to the actual interview.
All right. Well, should we do this show?
Yeah. Here we go. Right. These ladies are awesome.
So what are we going to talk about today, ladies?
Yeah, what are we going to talk about? I'm ready and I can't wait. I love talking.
So you got this thing called the Sister Project, which, you know, we'll talk about in the intro. But let's start with the conversation that you had with the people that attended the conference. Sure. And you were talking about slowing down. So I think, you know, one of the tie-ins to what Men Living is kind of all about is we are interested in ways to live more fully. Mm. And for men, you know, some of those things might be to show your emotion more and be more engaged and connect and all those things. Your recommendation is to slow down.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So let's start with that. Where do you want to go?
Michelle, should I take this one a little bit to start? Yeah, okay, great. Yeah. Yeah, you know, you guys, listen, there's nothing fun about rushing. Not Russians, just rushing, okay? I don't mean to make any political jokes. I'll just keep those at bay.
We just started. Here we go.
Uh-huh. It's on. Yeah, it's on.
You know, I think this all started, our mom was diagnosed with dementia back in like 2015, 2014.
Yeah.
And our lives were like flipped upside down. It was banana land. Like we were just, you know, you can imagine like, and maybe you know what this is like having a loved one that's going to lose all ability to tend to themselves and whatnot. So we learned from that experience.
We learned from our burnout, guys. We learned from our burnout.
And a lot of it had to just do with, you know, just burning the candle at both ends. Michelle, I mean, I thought about this the other day. Michelle was a mom to twin, like baby toddlers.
Yeah.
And working full time at another job, was commuting back and forth because this is pre-pandemic. So you were going into the office, no choice. So she was like burnt out.
I was
like
cracking up. I was literally cracking up. I was losing my mind. I was totally unraveling. I was frazzled. I was driving from point A to point B and not knowing how I was getting there, not remembering my path of, mm-hmm. you know, driving. And it's sort of, I think that, and just to calm, and also Lauren, I think also watching our mom who kind of burnt the candle at both ends up until the point where she got sick and never got to enjoy like those years of just not being a parent and really doing all the things. It was a combination of watching her not prioritize the importance of taking five, prioritizing yourself, going for a walk, saying no, doing less, you know?
Yeah. And I also think too, like June is our mom's name. She died young too. And like, I'm 41, I'll be 42 this year. I mean, I want to enjoy the time that I have here, regardless of what that time looks like. And I don't want to be burnt out, stressed, anxious, running around, my head spinning, and I'm a slower moving human being than Michelle is in general, but
I'm a reformed
rusher. And we started to develop this idea where we liked living a slower paced life. We always did. And we always kind of implemented like, you know, staying in, we're kind of homebodies, but we do go and do our social things and we love being in social settings, but we also just like taking it slow, saying no to things you don't want to do.
Being cozy.
Yeah. Being cozy in your home. We're all about that. Spending a lot of time in nature, just going on walks and getting fresh air and vitamin D and sunshine. But we also really lean into this hygge lifestyle, which is just, it's a Danish lifestyle term for the art of coziness. And Michelle mentioned being cozy, and it's a really slow pace of life. And knowing and learning about this lifestyle, which we already kind of were part of, and then with our mom being sick, we just started developing this idea and this messaging for people who felt like they were in the same boat as us, which is a lot of people. And I don't mean people like you have to have like a sick and dying loved one to be like, oh, I need to slow down. I think everyone is on this. We are on a hamster wheel and it is exhausting. It's the American way. And we have seen and read from other sources that are outside of where we live on what you can benefit from slowing down. And it is phenomenal. There's so many things that happen to your mind and body and like the mental health aspect of it, to when you really start to intentionally slow your day down and add a couple little life hacks in, so you're not like, you know, still burning the candle at both ends. And that's really where Michelle and I have wanted to share that message with people. Real quick story. Michelle came into my house for like the 100th time, like just where she was, like just like a hot mess. Just physically, she looked great, but I can tell on the inside, there was a lot of turmoil, like losing her shit, running out of my house to like get in her car. I'm like, where are you going in such a hurry? Like, close the door, take a moment to be.
No clue. I had no clue. I was going
you guys,
places
like dust and steam, like underneath her feet. Wild woman. And so I talked to her. Yeah, Michelle.
Oh, go ahead.
I one day was like, dude, I gotta like talk to you. Like, this is like I'm starting to get anxious upon your arrival and your departure because it's so intense. And my home is a little sanctuary and I like it slow, you know? And so we talked about it. And that's when Michelle really started to, I think you started to really like look at how you moved throughout the day.
I did. And I started to prioritize things that I never prioritized, like exercise for me when I was a 40 hour kind of work week driving commute, coaching, being a parent, cooking dinner, yoga. That was if I had a shred of time in my day, like all of those things that I do now, I didn't do then. And so I had to sort of relearn how to live and really like get strong in my conviction with making certain things non-negotiable that were always the first thing that I lopped off of my list of to-dos. And when I started to do that, I started to create more space. I started to feel less reactive. I started to be, and don't get me wrong, I still relapse. I mean,
but at least you realize it though now.
But I'm on it now.
You're not living in it.
And I check myself and then I get back into my good habits, like pulling up to a parking spot and instead like of looking on my phone and multitasking, I stop, I take a breath, I look around, I make a mental note of where I am. And then when I go in and then I come back out, I'm not having a PTSD moment from the bad times when I was doing that constantly and thought I was declining from the same cognitive disease, brain disease that our mom had. Like that's the spiral that was happening to me.
Well, totally. So a quick question about that. In practical terms, you know, if we're all lucky enough to live a long life, we're all going to have sick relatives or sick parents, or we're going to have to take care of a relative. When you look back on that, I know it was a big aha time in your life, but are there things practically that you would have done different, or would you still have had to have done the same things, but with a different mindset?
I look at that experience and I've learned so much from it. I learned in that moment when I was carrying the brunt and the responsibility of caring for my mom, I'm the oldest. That's the
assignment
when you get that position in birth order. So I kind of took it on and I was fine with it, but I found myself sort of having feelings and thoughts about things around me that later I realized that wasn't for me to worry about and what I needed to do in that moment to be better. And I will be better the next time I have to navigate this challenging situation is to take care of myself first, because you can't take care of anybody else really well if you don't prioritize the mind, body,
100%
situation.
That is so true. And that, I think that goes for anything like taking care of a sick parent, a kid, a partner, whatever it might be. We're all taking care of one another.
Yeah. It doesn't actually really matter. It just should be a thing that we're doing all
totally.
The time. And that's kind of what Lauren and I talk about.
But you know, what's funny. And I know in your most recent episode of your podcast, you guys dipped your toe in the waters of growing up Catholic. You're talking to a couple fellas here who grew up in Catholic
wanna
schools
talk?
For a long time. No, I don't at all. Actually, I don't want to talk about that at but our parents, and Sean and I are a little bit older than you guys, but our parents and that generation, especially the Catholics, I'm assuming your mom was Catholic, the way to go through life back then was to deprioritize yourself at all costs, right? It was to put everyone else in front of you.
Yes,
do you feel like
so
that's
unhealthy.
How your mom lived?
Oh, no, we know she did.
Yeah.
She did. And in fact, she didn't get baptized, Michelle. Didn't she become Catholic in like her 40s or something?
I was 16 because I remember Ryan, who's my now husband, he was sitting behind me because his dad was going through the
Oh my God, that's so funny, Michelle. Yeah. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Chris, I totally agree with you that that is, I think it's a generational thing. I think Catholic or not, I think it's super generational. 1950s, Susie Homemaker, have the kids.
And same with our dad. Our dad worked his ass off. That's all he did. He literally worked. He didn't exercise. He didn't prioritize himself. He really, when he was traveling, it was usually for work. Like, I mean, it was dudes and ladies.
Yeah. And I think now it's the tides are starting to change, thankfully. And people are starting to realize that you, if you don't care for yourself, you're going to burn out. And then you're going to be in a situation where you're stuck.
You're going to need resentful.
You might have to be taken care of. And we all know that stress is a killer. And you might not see it, but you feel it. And it manifests in all different ways. And when you're rushing around life, you're making mistakes, you're forgetting things, you're reacting instead of responding. It's a whole clusterfuck of problems.
Mm-hmm. What's interesting is you talk about, okay, putting other people first, which, you know, being concerned about other people you care about is important, is a good thing. But that idea that if you're doing it under duress or if you're not, well, I can't slow down because other people might think this about me. So letting go of what kind of other people think about you is kind of really important to slowing down, isn't it?
Number one is that, I mean, that is the care less part of our messaging. Caring less about keeping up with the Joneses, caring less about what somebody else's opinion of you is none of your business. All of that.
Right.
Yes.
And right. I think we have to care a little less too about what we think about taking moments of rest and taking a nap if you need it or sitting down. Like sometimes when I put my daughter down for a nap, it's the first time throughout the day that I'm actually going to have like sit down and maybe catch up on emails, pick up my book and read a few pages. And, you know, there's a lot of pressure to just keep going and clean the house, but we all need to rest and relax, or it's just a bit, it becomes a problem over time. It does. And we've seen it firsthand. And we're not by any means saying our mom got dementia because she didn't slow down. We are definitely saying that she died. It didn't help. But we're definitely also saying, though, that her life was cut short and we didn't really see her get to do the things, the slow down kind of things and enjoy little moments. And she did. But we just, in our eyes, it just looked a little bit more stressful than it probably could have been.
And that moment for us was that's what changed. I mean, for me, it changed me. It changed my whole perspective on the way I look at things. Lauren had to intervene and she had to kick me in the ass. But I mean, that was an awakening watching somebody go through that and have it end in that way.
How old was she when she died?
67, right, Lauren?
67.
Yeah. The baby.
Is your old man still around?
He is. How's he doing?
Has he gotten the memo yet about men should play golf? That's the memo that was going around in the 50s and 60s, right?
He did not. He did not play.
Never was a golfer.
Did not get that memo. He played.
He's a reader, and he's an avid reader.
Okay, that's good.
He puts down books a week.
And racquetball is such a sign of the times too back then, right? Remember,
all of our parents were into racquetball. Pickleball of our parents.
It was. But he's healthy now. He's doing well. He's slowing down.
You know, they're getting older, but he's in Florida living his best life with his
Totally. Yeah.
So we're affiliated with the men's group that Sean is the chair of the board of and that Todd runs. Most of our audience is men. And that's one thing that I've always been fascinated by is how many men who are affiliated or associated or doing work with Men Living are lucky enough to have parents in that 70s and 80s, because that's when that whole table turns and we have to end up parenting them. Mm-hmm. And there's no playbook for that, right?
No, there's not. And everybody's experience is so different depending on what your family dynamic is, depending on what your financial circumstances, depending on what your health circumstances, those variables, they all of them play a very different role in that.
Can we talk about that a little bit? You guys have three other siblings, right? How many of those are boys?
One, the youngest. One. He's our bookends. I'm the oldest. He's the youngest.
Oh my God. What a poor young fella.
Oh my God.
He's great.
We were just with him last night. I love him so much.
Yeah, he's great.
He's just a pretty sweet. He's a
jolly
heart. He's jolly. He's sensitive. And he's funnier than hell, man.
Yeah.
He's just a funny dude.
I mean, I don't get me wrong. I mean, there are obviously advantages to growing up with four older sisters. But I mean, I imagine that you guys were also.
Okay. You want to list them? Are you going to list the advantages? you just threw that out there. So you must have some on your mind.
Let's put it this way. We used to joke.
Please, Lord.
We used to joke that we would call him Rob Kardashian because Rob Kardashian is the youngest. Well, he's in the younger field of all
he's
his
the only
female.
Brother.
Yeah, he's the only brother of all those female siblings. So, you know, for a little bit, Nick went dark a little bit, and we'd be like, "Where's Rob? Is Rob coming to Christmas?" And
he's like, "I have four sisters.
Right,
give me a break."
But I think that you know we are in our 40s. He's not yet quite 40, but we're in a point in life where it's like you just gotta spend time with your family when you can. And you know, I wanted to mention something real quick, Chris. About you mentioned take men being listeners and taking care of our older relatives and whatnot. And a little switch of subjects, but going back, I just wanted to mention therapy. Just when you start feeling like you gotta start taking care of an older loved one or a parent, whatever, therapy is where it's at. It just helps put everything into perspective and keeps your head on straight.
I was pretty deep into a therapy session with my gal through our mom's death. And it was one of the strangest, most cathartic parts of it. It was like having like a, I don't know, I was looking at a therapist more like a life coach, really. She was a therapist, but I just like kind of really helped me navigate that whole process, like held my hand through it. And it was nice to have that.
I went because it was a little different. June was exhibiting behaviors that we weren't sure what was going on. So I was in therapy prior to her diagnosis. And it was a very confusing time. And for an adult woman, me being the daughter, it was very lonely and sad. I felt like I was losing my mom, didn't know what to. Then we realized it was dementia. So then I had to overcome the fear of dementia. And then I had to overcome the fear of, I forgot a word. Is this it? Am I getting dementia now? Have I caught it from my mom? So then I had to go through that moment of uncertainty. And that was, I walked away from Dr. Steve. I, you know, finally one day I was like, I think I'm doing okay. This was closer to her death and whatnot, but he left me with the most profound lesson I think that any therapist has ever taught me, which is you have to get comfortable with uncertainties. Yeah. And what he said to me was so jarring. He's like, I'm like, well, am I going to get dementia? He's like, I don't know. What if you go outside and get hit by a bus? We don't know if that will happen. I'm like, God, you know, I never thought about it. Like I never thought about being in the now and something happening. I'm just worried about the future.
Yeah.
And when he said those things to me, and I think that that's every human's battle is what does the future look like? You know, and how am I going to handle whatever comes about? Am I going to get sick? And it's living in this moment best you can and being comfortable in the discomfort of uncertainties, which can be scary as hell, but fuck it. We're all, and the good news is we all don't know what's going to happen.
It can be scary, but it can be a relief too. I mean, it's like, okay, you know what? I can't worry about any of that stuff. It's just right now we're doing this talk and I don't know what's coming next.
Exactly. Exactly.
So one of the things that I've always wondered, so I get the newsletter now that I know you guys and you know, so I see, and I'm going back to slowing down and being cozy. And I see that one of your sponsors are dispensary. And I'm like, okay. So is there a linkage to slowing down and weed?
Who smokes pot and and it's like, I'm gonna let's rush around town.
It's a different type of situation, guys. Well, I mean, I can say from my perspective.
Curious minds want to know. Yeah, totally. Yes, Michelle. Yeah.
Well, for starters, I have a race car for a brain. This is just me. So I'm very, very fast up here all the time. And for me, cannabis and probably my affinity for it from when that started, you know, in my 20s, was that I felt a sense of calm and a sense of, honestly, I felt like it was slowing me down a little bit.
Yeah.
I needed and for that. But also, cannabis is for me like my glass of wine. It's like a Friday night recreation, you know, get hanging. I was just on Friday night. I was at a friend's house who is a cannabis enthusiast. She had a few couples over and we had some great snacks and very civilized. Nobody was burnt out on the couch. Nobody was underneath the bus. You know? We were all in the kitchen having amazing conversations. And she was creating basically mocktails with a cannabis infused beef. And I was sipping and you know what? I had my titanium sheath had been activated after a long week of busy, nonstop, invisible mental load mothering and all of the other things that come with it. And had a great conversation, went home, went to bed, woke up, felt like $1 million, you know, kicked ass on Saturday. It was amazing. Yeah. So that, I think there's a connection there.
And I think, Michelle, you bring up a good point too, because, and for your listeners, like Michelle and I are not like turtle pacing around town. We're not like going slow and like, you know, there's that movie.
There's no question about that. They could just hear you talk. There's no question about that.
We're not like, you know, slow motion Sally's over here, but the trick of slowing down is to find intentional moments of slowness. And here's the deal too. The good news is I think everyone does it, but not everyone realizes that they're doing it and they don't soak it up. Like when you're with a friend, like the other day, my friend Maggie came over. She's my best friend in the whole wide world. And we, no TV, we sat, you know, we had dinner, we stepped outside, hit a little joint she brought over. And then we went back inside and had about a 2-hour just conversation of everything you can imagine under the stars and moon. And when she left, my slowdown bucket had filled up because it was like, okay, I had taken that 2 hours and being a mom, I'm in my 40s, you know, a new momish. And I used to have those kind of nights all the time. So they're a little fewer and far in between. But when you take the intentional time to do it, it kind of like Michelle said, it resets you for the next day of busy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I also think if you're going right and you're doing your things and you're doing it with joy, like there's no tension, there's no frustration, there's no you know, if you can eliminate the fear and you're like, I just do this stuff because they make me feel good, then it may not be necessarily slowing down, but it's done with a different level of
things that you enjoy,
connection to it. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Do you guys enjoy? Do you guys imbibe?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. Less so. I enjoy whiskey too much now.
I like my whiskey.
This episode of If You've Come This Far is brought to you by Judson & Moore, Chicago Distillers of American Whiskey. Right here in the Avondale neighborhood on the west bank of the Chicago River, our friends at Judson & Moore are distilling, barreling, bottling award-winning bourbon, rye, and single malt whiskeys. So if you like whiskey or great cocktails or great music, you should treat yourself by paying them a visit. You can learn more at judsonandmore.com. And please consider following our show in the meantime.
There's this other sort of unspoken rule, in addition to the eldest takes care. Sometimes kids are spread out, right? And
right.
Whoever is closest to mom or dad is the caretaker.
I think that a lot with my friends who are going through this. Yeah.
Well, you guys, Michelle won't mention it, but I'll mention it for her. She actually is so like hardcore and badass. She moved our mom even closer to her so that she can make that transition of life for our mom better and easier for Michelle too.
I just want to say, like, we were very fortunate for the fact that we were able, my mom was, you know, financially taken care of. She could afford the life that she lived till the very end. And we got her into a house closer to us and all of that stuff. And it did. That was selfish, fully 100%, 1000% selfish, because I knew that would logistically be easier for me.
Brilliant. To help,
whatever. But I also know that there are so many people, most people cannot have that same, they don't have that same experience. And that makes it just so incredibly hard. But to your question before about like parents navigating with siblings out of town, I see it a lot. Like there's, you know, I feel like I've gone through this once already. So I'm kind of like I've ahead of my time with this navigating this sandwich parenting thing. And now my friends are going through it and everyone's coming to me and sharing their, you know, challenges. And I think my advice to everybody going through that is you, wherever you are, wherever your parents are, there's something that you can do to contribute.
Mm.
You know, And don't ask what you can do. What are your strengths? Just what are you doing? Making spreadsheets? All right, let's whip up that spreadsheet. Are you really good at like communicating and you can navigate something there? Figure out what it is you can do from where you are and lend a hand. And that will help. That is really important,
right? Because otherwise you have a sibling who is bearing all this load, and it's a heavy load, right?
Sometimes it's just like that.
Okay, so I derailed us momentarily.
Lauren and I get derailed all the time. We're good. We love derailing.
So we're on the same page, whatever page that is.
Page 103, but we're going back to 31.
So I do still imbibe, less so probably at this point in my life. But this brings me back to like the slowing down. This notion of slowing down brings me back to, Sean, our conversation with Dave Haskin and the idea of mindfulness and being present. Because I feel like that's, by trying to slow down, we're just trying to not worry so much about what we can't control next week or what happened last week, and just being in the now. I don't know if I get that when I do imbibe. Imbibe is such a bad word.
Yeah. Tweaker City. Three years ago.
Not for everyone.
Yeah. It's not. I recently heard I was just telling Michelle on our intro that I love like philosophical TikTok. I go back and forth. I do like, you know, their TikTok is just a wonder. And if you find a good algorithm, you can get into a good space of getting some really profound tips from people. And I follow a lot of like Buddhist monks, and follow this really cool old witch lady. And so many of these people bring all these thoughts my way, and I've been saving them. And one recent one was someone, she was just kind of like talking shit about all of us. She's like, we worry about stuff that doesn't matter. There's nothing to be worried about. She's like, I get it. Like the big stuff, like the big stuff that we got to worry about. Okay. Like, you know, you have to get in, you know, your MRI, that kind of stuff. It's worth worrying about, but in a healthy way. Right. But she's like, but if you're just sitting there ruminating and worry, I want you to remember that you are a speckle. You are a piece of salt, or like as small as a grain of sand. We are a blip on the existence of this universe. And I was like, God, when you put it into words like that, it really minimizes my worries. It makes me remember that like, there's a lot of shit we actually don't have to be worrying about, especially the uncertainty, the unknown stuff that might happen a week from now, that we are just actually, I'm going to say one more thing. Another TikTok I heard about, a woman was approached by a person who asked, name one thing you would do differently. You're 60. She was 60. What would you do differently? Had done differently up until this point. She goes, I would have worried so much less. Yeah. Why would you have worried less? Because all the shit I worried about never happened. Mm-hmm. What?
Yeah.
What? For 60 years, she's been worrying, and now she's coming to an epiphany. I had nothing to worry about. And I in my heart believe she was worried about getting sick about something. I think she was worried about illness, maybe something her mom or dad had. I like to relate it to dementia, because I have to remind myself, I can't sit and worry about if I'm going to get dementia for the rest of my fucking life, because that's kind of a sour way to exist.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you know, in a really
kind of a buzzkill.
It's total buzzkill. I mean, why not just worry about cancer? It's so much easier, you know.
At least we could do something about that.
Yeah. Well, so I've had this came up recently, I think, in a conversation, Sean, that you and I had. But I found myself. Here's what I say: I turned 54 last week. And yeah, I keep making a big dad math joke. I'm like, I'm pretty sure I'm not going to live to be 108. So I'm pretty sure I'm past the halfway point, right? so such a dumb joke. But the point of this story is that I have been thinking more in my, maybe partly because of my age, about mortality. And where you talked about like comparing ourselves sort of in the frame of the universe and how sort of small we are, but also this comparison, which I find troubling at times, where I think about mortality, is actually bringing me back to present, right? You know, if there's not that much time, we have to enjoy, you know, or make the most of the time we have now. So I don't know. I mean, am I the only one who thinks about this shit?
No. I think it was I forget what publication, but there was a publication, I'll find and send it, about how we should be thinking about death more often.
just in the grand scheme of things.
Please send that.
I will. I'll send it to you. I saved it. And I think it's important that we, yeah, we're a little speck in the universe, but Chris, what you're saying is pretty significant, because we should enjoy this small existence that we have. And that's the point of that, is that in the grand scheme of things, blip, but what matters is now. It's so important that we just, you know, embrace this moment, because that's really all we got promised to us is right now, this conversation. It's just,
yeah.
I feel like if we all kind of got on that same mindset, there'd be a lot less bullshit.
So let me ask you, are your husbands on board with this? Your partners, how are your, because that just occurred to me, because I'm thinking about my partner, less so. Are your husbands kind of focused on being in the present moment, chilling out?
Yes. I think my husband first of all, you could not meet two more opposite people. I am a race car. He's more chill. Like, he's so thoughtful and non-reactive, where I have to practice. That's like just who he is. And I have to practice to be that person. But I see him in his older, maturing years, you know, like waking up in the morning and having these mindful moments where he is taking a moment for himself, reading his Stoic books and whatever growth moment that he is in. Like, I'm watching him do this. And also, he, for me, is someone that he is also a reminder to me. He says it, slow down. Slow down.
Ryan is on it.
That's great.
Ryan's super cool. Anthony's the same way. Anthony's very similar. How do I put this? He's always working on himself.
Totally.
He's working with an ADHD coach. Anthony also suffers from some anxiety and sleep issues, and he's going to sleep experts. So he's always working on himself. He works very hard at being present. He does the same thing Ryan does. He reads his Daily Stoic. If you guys haven't, do you know the book Daily Stoic by Ryan Holiday? Mm-hmm. So, and there's one for fathers. Yeah. It's just awesome. It's just great little nuggets. Anthony, for me, he's a pretty good teacher as well. I can get a little hyper and I can be quick to react. A lot of things that happen in this world piss me off. I get very passionate about circumstances and I get heated. And as does he, but he usually is the one that'll be like, okay, let's not talk about the news for the rest of the day. I'm like, okay, good idea.
Well, there's a concept in there, right? It's like, well, you know, the utility of worrying about things that are beyond your control is arguably a waste of time and effort, right?
Totally.
So it sounds like you two race cars married a couple of horse-drawn wagons. I was just looking.
I did for sure. I mean, this morning Ryan literally said that to me. You know, we have twin boy and girl twins. They're freshmen in high school. They left for school this morning to go try out for their sport. This is like what they've been, you know.
Oh yeah.
And I am nauseous. And I want them to succeed. You know, every parent wants their kids to accomplish their goals. But you know what? As Ryan told me this morning, it's not in our control.
Mm-mm. Right.
Whatever happens, there will be a lesson in it. Yeah. We will move in it. There will be a pivot, maybe. And well, let's just not worry about what we can't control. And
so true. Our,
he's like, yeah. I'm like living with Eckhart Tolle. Okay.
Yeah.
He, literally. And if you haven't read The Power of Now, every sentence, every page is just a lesson in how to be present.
Part of your brand, maybe all the brand, is cozy. And when I think about the word cozy, I think about my grandma.
Grandma aesthetic.
I think about Martha Stewart. How does your cozy parallel with my grandma and Martha Stewart? And can guys be cozy?
Yes.
Hell yes. Yes.
Oh my God.
Hell yes.
Honestly, a cozy guy is a sexy guy. Let's be honest.
Right?
Totally.
Yes. Yes.
I bought your candles. What are you laughing at, Chris? I bought the candles.
And how do you
sexy
like
sexy guy is a cozy guy? That's the one. That's the one.
You're sexy. Sean. I'm not afraid to say that.
Well, you guys, don't you like to feel like warm in your house? Do you like to walk in your house and smell like something amazing cooking on the stove? Doesn't that make you feel like Like, what's that smell? I can't, that smells so good. Or like, I don't know, cozy doesn't, you know, chilling out, like making like your favorite kind of popcorn and putting whatever the heck you want on, or a delicious
No. Yeah, that's where I'm going. Chris likes whiskey. So like, Chris, you're sitting down, you just pour, it's the end of a long week and you're in Chicago. So you're going to, you know, it's going to be spring because, you know, you guys were having global warming. So it's spring in February. Sorry to put that bummer in there again. So freaking depressing. Right? It's beautiful. Yeah, it's beautiful. we can look at it all sorts of different ways, but it's cozy. So you're going to come inside after a long week and you're going to make yourself a whiskey cocktail. You're going to sit down. I don't know if you have children, you have a partner.
I have a wife and I have a freshman, high school freshman, and an 18-year-old too. So
on. Okay. Yeah. And whether you want everyone around you or not,
you're looking for some cozy.
Yeah. You're going to sit down. Relax, put your feet up, take that very first sip of your whiskey cocktail. You may have a book in your hand if that's what you're doing, or you might have your show on that you've been dying to binge and you're not doing anything except for relaxing your body, sipping, maybe connecting with some family members and relaxing. And how does that feel?
It feels good.
Does he have a blankie?
If you want it. You don't need a blankie. But the idea... But that could add to it. But the idea is to be in the moment and add any elements to it that make you feel more, for lack of better words, cozy or content or comfortable or stress-free. All of those words are synonymous with our idea of what cozy is. And if that means also like putting on your favorite sweatshirt or whatever that might look like really encompassing this kind of cocoon, you're safe. You're not going to be, and I don't mean like safe, like no one's going to get you. I just mean like you're in a safe space, headspace, mental, physical. And for us, that's what cozy really is just feeling good about wherever you are in that moment.
In the present moment. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So. I love that. I love the picture you just painted. I feel like there is if it were only that simple, right? Because I think what a lot of people do is they go get their sweats on, enjoy the smell, pour the whiskey or take the edible or
and then what happens?
And then they spin up again, you know, right? Like, so I do think there's a correlation. I think being cozy and being present and being in the now, it's easier to be in the now when you're cozy. So I'm totally on board with what you guys are practicing and sort of preaching, wrong word.
It's practice. It is practice,
but that's the thing. It is a practice.
There is to be intentional about it.
Like meditation, right? Like
totally. It's totally like, it's like literally like a moment of meditation. And here's another thing, put your phone away, because the minute you open your phone, when you're trying to get into this cozy content mood, you're going to spiral because someone's going to piss you off, or you're going to start comparing yourself, or you're going to get triggered to do something. And it just leads into, now you're just spending time on your phone, which is not at all part of our messaging.
You guys, my favorite quote from the last few months, I think I actually heard it while I was driving to the Zen Parenting Conference that you guys presented at. I think it was a Theodore Roosevelt quote where he said, comparison is the thief of joy.
Yes, right? It is.
For sure.
It is.
And those phones are just, they're
it's exhausting. They're
fountains of comparison.
You know? Yes, oh, spewing fountains. Like I find myself comparing myself to a friend who just built a beautiful home and vacations all the time. And I'm like, oh, and then I have to remind myself. So my trick for that is I either out loud or my brain go, I'm so happy for them. I'm so happy that they are in Paris right now. And they've got this beautiful new home in Florida. Cause it really, and I am genuinely happy for them, but sometimes it stings a little because I'm like, I want to be in the sunshine. I want to be in Paris eating a, you know, crepe. but what you said earlier, it is a practice. It's not as easy as putting on a cozy pair of socks and putting a blanket on. It really is. It has a lot to do with the mindset. Yeah. It actually has everything to do with it. Mm-hmm. If you don't get into the headspace and you're just doing the actions, it probably won't seep in and you won't get the benefits of what we're trying to share with you.
Yeah.
But if you take time to maybe have that connection with someone, when I say connection, I mean like have like a really thorough conversation and not about stuff that's stressful, about anything other than a stressful conversation, or really dive into a book, eliminate devices. Take time when you're eating food or sipping on your cocktail. Yeah. And listen, this moment of contentment might last 5 minutes. It might last 3 hours,
But mm-hmm. even if you just get sips of it throughout your life and then gradually more and more, then you, it starts to become who you are.
Yep. And you, cause you're breaking the stress.
And it's habitual.
You're having the connections, you're feeling, you're getting like the wash over of the results that you are seeking by doing that over and over. It's like a cumulative effect and you just get better as you go.
So someone mentioned a walking meditation to me recently, which I've never tried. Although I used to have one song, Grateful Dead, They Love Each Other. And if I could put that on, I could walk slowly. And just the process, that process alone, that practice of being in a song. Anyway, Sean, sorry, go ahead.
No, I was, are you, it seems like you're struggling with the idea of being cozy. Like cozy is like something is difficult for you to connect
on with. The contrary, I would argue that I'm expert in coziness.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Now you're showing your true colors.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm pretty good.
We're looking for an intern.
Is that a paid internship or? No, I do.
This is our 54-year-old intern, Chris.
His name's Chris. He's and cozy. I just sit there and I've got like a pad of paper.
He's
and a pen.
Always snuggled. He's always snuggled up. Yeah. He's got tea.
This week he's going to learn how to knit.
With a blankie.
That's hilarious.
Welcome aboard.
Oh shit.
Welcome aboard.
My God, that's funny.
So what is it about your approach, Chris, that you're an expert in cozy?
I obviously there's some tongue-in-cheekness to me saying I'm expert, because that would be like saying I'm an expert in mindfulness, right? Because we're roughly talking about the same thing there. But I have worked at it for a long time and practiced it for a long time. And I do sort of have that superpower where and this is maybe like, you guys, this, honest to God, this could be like old white man, you know, naivete, right? But I do have the superpower. Like I can avoid going to see the New York Times for days on end. Again, I'm not bragging about that, because Manisha, on the other hand, is obsessed with all that ails the world. And it's not that I don't care, but again, I think it's beyond my control. And so I think that there are probably things that might be better for me to do. So I don't know if that, I mean.
Are you saying you protect yourself from the angst of the world and that you can kind of cocoon yourself into kind of not ignoring, but putting up a little bit of a protective shield so that you can stay?
Like a boundary.
It sounds like a boundary.
Well, so I don't like to think of it as a selfish act.
I don't think it's selfish.
Yeah. So, but I don't think it's like I'm doing it to protect myself. Is it a friend's benefit of doing it? Yes. But it's like, if I'm doing that, then I'm not able to play music with my daughter or to read The Boys in the Boat or to meditate or to make this podcast. You know what I mean? Things that I think are adding more value to the world. It's almost like an asset allocation decision, which Sean, sorry for the business, you know, but
no,
that's what it is for me.
Of course. Yeah.
But you guys are getting a glimpse into how I spend all my time up here and not in here. And Todd Adams he'll probably have feedback on this part of the podcast.
He always does. It's unsolicited too, but he gives it to us anyways. It's not. I'm not really sure what that
Marco Polo
is.
2 days after. Yeah. Me. Yeah.
So your newsletter starts out. Hello, weird internet friend. Every time I see that,
that's
I'm
Michelle.
Like,
It's Michelle. It's all Michelle.
Yeah. So Michelle, what's that all about?
You know, I think it started during the pandemic. We were really like making and seeking. A lot of weird things were happening then. We were desperately seeking connection. So we went to the gram to create connection. And I like would affectionately refer to our friends on Instagram as our WIFs, our weird internet friends, because it essentially, for me anyway, felt like it was a different step. We always just joked. It's like, we're friends with some of these people legit. We have friends in like all over the world, really. We're tight with some people. They're our friends, but it just felt more authentic to refer to them as our weird internet friends. And it kind of, everybody feels the same way. I feel like everybody, it's kind of caught on and everybody also refers to
themselves. They're like, hey, you guys, Lauren here, first time caller, long time listener. I'm one of your weird internet friends. It's so true. It's kind of how during the pandemic, we started a series called Live at Five. And every day
Michelle and I would take turns going on at 5 p.m. to slow down and connect with somebody. And it was sometimes with one another, but it was often with an expert in the field of anything. We met with with mixologists, we met with doctors, yeah. We met with sex therapists, we met with all people of all walks of life, florists, to talk to us for an hour and put on like a little show, if you will, for our following in our community, because we were on lockdown and it was the weirdest moment in all of our lives. So we thought it was a fun way to have that connection and to hang out with the moment that we were in. It's so weird.
Do you ever, this is loaded. Talk about loaded, Michelle. Do you ever worry that Sister Project is becoming a cult?
I hope so. I hope it's the coziest. I hope it's the coziest cult. Did you say a cult or cult?
Yeah.
Like, are we witches? Yeah, we're cozy witches.
Yeah, she follows witch ladies. I love the crazy witch lady.
Yeah. I'm a practicing witch. I'm also a yoga teacher I've been teaching.
Same thing.
We're all witches, man. And Michelle's getting her witch on. So wait, Chris, did you ask if we are becoming a cult or if we are in the occult? Because
if you're becoming a cult.
No, but I'm obsessed with cults. And like I said, I do. I hope you know what? The answer to that question is a hard, fast yes, we are. It's called the cozy cult. And you want to be
candle selling cult. Join our cult.
There it is.
It's the coolest kind of cult to be. It's not a religion. We're not going to ask you to idolize false gods or goddesses. We just want
you to take all your money.
No, we're not asking you for any money.
But it stops. The buck stops there.
I'm not going to try to sleep with any of my cult followers.
Because they're just our whips. They're just our whips.
Yes, it's the coziest cult ever, and you want to be in on it.
Wow, crazy how you rebranded in one episode of
Isn't it amazing? Right.
Far, yeah.
Now I need to get a furry witch's hat.
You do. That would be great.
So you got to talk about the candles, and I'm wondering when you're going to start selling blankies. But okay, that's a line extension.
That's
ladies.
Hilarious. Well, we do have a little bit of a line extension.
Oh, we do.
We launched our candles a few years ago. It was the obvious line to create. We are cozy connoisseurs, and nothing makes and adds to a vibe more than a cozy smelling candle. And Lauren and I also really lean into the seasons. That's a very big part of our lifestyle. You know, winter, spring, summer, fall, we're in it. And we created a candle line where each scent, there are four, represent what we feel represents the epitome of that candle burning season. So right now we're entering into the fresh scent season right now. And it is a lovely scent of gardenia and lilac and lemon.
We call it the kitchen. It's the perfect kitchen candle. It is.
Yeah.
It has got quite a nose on it, and it just makes your whole home smell very fresh and spring-like.
Fresh.
I'm a big candle guy, and I'll vouch for it. I got them.
Thank you. Okay. Thank you for supporting our candle biz.
Cozy AF. What does the AF stand for again?
Well, you know.
And fun.
Cozy and fun, right.
Which season smells like marijuana? Which is the marijuana scent?
Candle is in production.
That's in production. There is a great cannabis candle out there called It's the Malin, and I'm going to butcher the name, but it's called Malin and Goats. It's G-O-E-T-Z.
Oh, yeah.
And I know I should only be hawking my candle line, but I have to tell you, it's such a good dude smell, and it's called cannabis. It is it's the one I get Anthony every year because they're pricey, man.
Candles are pricey.
$55 bucks for a 9-ounce candle. Yeah, that's
holy
steep.
Shit. Yeah.
Ours are only $40 for how many ounces, Michelle? 12?
12, yeah.
That's a bang for your buck, fellas.
That's affordable as fuck.
Oh, it is. And gentlemen listening in, Mother's Day is coming around the corner. Get your lady or lover or partner or whatever you want to call them a fresh AF candle.
Yeah, and you get that at the sisterprojectblog.com. Click on the cozy shop and you can go right there.
Nice job, Michelle.
We'll have all that info in the show notes, of course.
Oh, yeah.
And then Sean, you asked, there's an extension of the line. We are working on right now merchandise. We're working on sweatshirts and t-shirts and tote bags.
Launching April 1st.
Nice.
Yeah, April 1st.
Ready. Be ready.
Tote bags? Interesting. Are you working with a vendor on that stuff?
Yeah, we have makers.
Yeah, Lemonade. Their name is the Lemonade. It's a two women. We
We like working with some of our local women-owned business. Yeah. The woman who pours our candles is a small women-owned business out of Downers Grove. Yeah. And then the women who will be doing our merch, Lemelade, they're awesome screen printers. And we have, they're going to create some stuff for us.
And Michelle, you asked about the bag. Yeah. So we do have tote bags. We have sweatshirts. There's t-shirts. They're all going to be cozy.
Michelle, tell them what the tote bag's
going to
say.
But I'm going to tell them about the tote bag because I'm so excited about it.
It's not really on brand, but it's on Michelle's brand.
It's a one-line zinger that's making its way to a tote bag because I like to tell people on occasion when they piss me off or push my buttons to go, you know, some people say go fly a kite.
Yeah, or F
off. I like to say,
yeah,
a bag of dicks. So yeah. I have, with Lauren, have created the Eat a Bag of Dicks tote for you to take to the farm.
Please tell me that's true. Is that true?
Yes, 100%. And yes, you can hand that to whoever.
Give it to someone that makes you angry or someone who has got a quick temper and you just wear this bag around town and just tell people to eat a bag of dicks.
Or get it for someone who likes to tell other people to eat a bag of dicks.
Exactly. Like, you can go look at how many people can wear that.
So many uses. So many.
Almost everybody needs one.
Yeah. Yep. Everyone. Yeah. And I live in Chicago. If you say something wrong to the wrong person, you can get, it can get like a pistol whipped. So I'm just going to wear my bag of dicks tote bag to the farmer's market. And that's how I'm going to
roll. It's like, it's almost preemptive, and so no one's going to fuck with you.
Right? I think it's also a great conversation starter too. If you come across somebody who just has an amazing sense of humor, they're going to be like, please tell me,
totally,
where can I get that bag? Yeah.
I think it's genius, Michelle.
Thank you.
Thank God Lauren didn't stop you.
Well, Sean said it.
Oh, I wanted her. I told you.
Smart. Yeah, definitely smart.
Smart.
All right. Anything else before we go to our three questions? We have three questions at the end.
I love question rounds.
No, but I'm loving this.
No, I wanted to. I just wanted to respond to one thing that Chris said earlier about the cozy conversation, and how it is kind of easier said than done. And that's there's a trick to all of this that like little mindset hacks. And one of them that I've been implementing recently is it's called the 30-second rule. And if you are enjoying something or see something that resonates with you, or you read something, whatever it might be, something you find joy in, to take 30 seconds to observe, to feel how it feels within your body. This could go for other things, the opposite end of the spectrum too, to kind of become a bit more emotionally intelligent. But when you are walking around, and the other day I saw a woodpecker in the middle of the city, which is so fun to see because it's so random. And Luna and I just kind of stood there and watched and let it kind of seep in. And I think that those little moments and practices, like 30 seconds like that, can start to add to your everyday cozy.
Yeah.
Cozy isn't just like cozy blankets. It could be anywhere with anyone and anything.
Hot tip. And lucky for me, I'm married to a bird lady.
Lucky you.
Yeah.
I love hanging out with bird
She's super cozy, in my opinion.
People hear bird lady and they think, feed a bird, tuppence a bag. But I love that song. I love that movie.
I was thinking Crazy Bird Lady. I wasn't thinking that song.
I know you were, and that's why she's going to kill me, and that's why I'm going to edit this whole part out of this.
Yeah, edit. Shit. There's no editing in our podcast.
Questions. Yeah. Ready?
Yeah.
Okay, so first of all, the quick preface here. A year or so ago, we had Sean's brother as a guest on the podcast, and I ate it up. Like, I love sort of sibling tension and rivalry. And so the last time we had dual guests, we set the rules and we said, so-and-so is going to go first on this one. So-and-so's this time, I want you guys to fight for it.
Okay. Wait, what are we fighting for?
Who gets to answer first? Whoever.
Okay. I love talking.
How are they going to fight for it?
Whoever comes
it's
up
not very organized. What?
You have to yell it out.
I'm confused by the rules already.
Okay. Yeah, gonna make
me
rules.
Too.
Yeah. And Sean's your partner.
There weren't going to be rules. I know, Sean. Okay. Here's the deal. Michelle is older.
Yep.
And so she gets to go first on the first question.
Okay.
Then, another perk of being the eldest.
Yes, just yet another. And then Lauren will go back to Michelle. Okay, so here's the first question. What do you wish you could have told your 10-year-old self?
Oh. You're going to be fine. Everything's going to be fine. Honestly, I was a worrier, always worrying about things. I don't know. Yeah.
Oh God. What a loaded question.
So loaded.
That's as good as anything I've heard.
Okay.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, it's simple. But, go ahead, Lauren.
Mine would be tell an adult about that weird basketball coach. Something weird happened. I'm serious. Something weird happened. And I should have told somebody and he should have gotten canned. But that's okay. It's not too traumatic, but enough where he should have no job. Okay. So tell mom and dad about that. And then also don't drink that much in college. Drink less in college and travel.
Wait, you would have told your 10-year-old self, don't drink so much in college. 10-year-old self would have been, wait, what are you talking about?
Looking forward in your college years, when you get there, keep your head on straight and travel. But numero uno is to literally tell someone, I'm going to tell Luna when she can understand it. If anyone says or does something to you that and ever says, like, don't tell anyone, that's your number one sign. To come and tell
them. Yeah, true. That's a good.
To go public with it.
That's a good parenting.
That is terrifying. So yeah.
Do you guys have 10 more minutes? Are we good on? Are you okay?
Dude, I got all the time in the world. I'm having so much fun.
I literally have 10 more minutes. Okay,
because I'm going to insert an ad hoc question. Where would you tell your 10-year-old to make sure they travel? If there's one place to make sure you travel, where would it be?
Oh, wow.
Somewhere where people are struggling. Somewhere where people are don't have access to, I mean, I'm not at 10 years, like go when you get older, you can go to where people are starving and go see what other parts of the world struggle with. Go fucking learn what it's really like.
Yeah.
And then go do Rome and Australia and then all those other fun places.
Right.
But go see the struggles of what is happening to people on the other side of and all over the globe.
And I think I would say go anywhere but here. I know there's so much to see in the United States. But honestly,
get out
here, but here,
yeah,
go check it out and see what's going on the other side.
I agree with all of that. I didn't think that was going to elicit such good answers. I thought it was going to be like New Zealand and go on a safari.
If anyone's game
smarter than us,
go to Tasmania.
Of course, it's going
to
be good answers.
Tasmania is the coolest place I've ever been. Go to Tasmania.
All right, Lauren, this one's yours. Do you have a mantra in life or a mantra these days?
Yes, I do. Thank you for asking. Every morning I wake up and I say, it is going to be an amazing day. Incredible things are going to happen. And I say it on repeat all day long. And it has changed my perspective in everything in my life. Mm. When shit hits the fan, you better believe that I'm saying it. Because guess what? After I get out of the weeds, something incredible is going to happen. And it helps me see the small things that I don't always recognize or see as incredible things happening.
Can I just append to that? Because in the latest newsletter, will you talk about mantra?
I talk about it. Yeah. That was good. Yeah. Is that
stay in the motherfucking present moment? I think that's
true. Yeah, that's right? The other that was my favorite lesson from it. It helps me stay in the motherfucking present moment.
Yeah.
But helps me do a lot of other things too.
Uh-huh.
I love it.
Yep.
All right, Michelle.
I went through a phase where I was starting my morning with three positive. I go in and out of different things. Like I'll do something for a period of time and then it dies off. I go to yoga pretty regularly and my mantras are usually set by the instructor that's in teaching the class. So a lot of times my mantra is to be patient, but most of the time my mantra is to be present. That's like a daily effort for me. So when I'm on it, I'm reminding myself to do that.
Fair enough. Final question. Wait, whose turn? It's Michelle's turn to go first. What do you hope that people will say about you at your wake?
You know what? Honestly, I would like people to say two things about me. I would like them to say that I'm a good listener and that I was a good fucking time.
That's good, Michelle.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And I am a good time.
You are a good time.
And I'm working my... I am. So I know that
you are a good listener
and but the listening I need to work on it sometimes, depending on the person. I'm a different listener. I find to different people and I'm aware of that. And I think that comes from within why I am that way. So I'm very aware and I'm working on listening without, judgment it's hard. It's a practice. It's a freaking practice for me.
It is.
Just to go full circle here. One of the mantras that is in my constant rotation is simply listen better. Because I'm with you. Okay, Lauren, round us out here.
What I want people to say at my funeral. Well, first of all, I already told Anthony just last week that I want him to, there's a song by, Neil Diamond. It's my favorite song called Holly Holy.
I love Holly Holy.
It's my favorite song ever.
My daughter and I, it's on.
Chris, a lot of people know that song.
Dude, what was the name of that show? Midnight Mass. Do you remember that? It was featured. Midnight Mass?
Yes, Midnight Mass. And it is our baby. When that song came on, Midnight Mass, I was blown to bits. I was like, it's gone mainstream.
But
Chris, you can also play it at your funeral too, if you would like.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. So I love that you know that song. It's so freaking good.
I fucking love that song.
I want that song played like on repeat because it is so beautiful and celebratory. Mm. And I want people to say about me that I did my best. I lived my life to the fullest and I spoke up for shit that I cared about, including people and other people's agendas.
Mm.
Well, good news. You guys both
cozy.
You both pass. You cozily pass the test. No, those are great answers. Really good answers. Yeah.
That's a hard one.
Thank you. I liked your question.
So do I.
Good.
That's, you know, we debate the value of asking those questions, but I always think it's interesting.
We don't debate it. You debate it. You always bring it up. Oh, should we do them? Should we get rid of them? You love doing them. We're going to do them.
To keep doing them. Those are fun.
And it's so annoying. It's a way for you to get to know people on a level that's different than the topic they're coming to talk about. Sure. You know,
yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Cool. I say keep them.
Great conversation
starter. All right, I'm sold.
Great conversation starter.
Yeah,
I'm sold. I mean, I am your intern, so I guess I need to do what you say.
That's true. We are starting today.
Yep. Congratulations, new hire. Lauren, get a picture of this and share it on Instagram.
So we say this all the time. It's like we have so much more to talk about and you have to come back. So
hell yeah. I'd love to. This was a true pleasure. Thank you for having us so much. Oh, I feel such a connection with Chris right now.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Holly Holy. Right? Oh my God. I'm blown away right now. Honest to God.
No one else gets it like we do.
No, that song is just, it pumps me up. I've been listening to that song since 2005. I used it as a pump up song when I would go on air for television. And ever since then, it's my anthem. And I'm going out with the same song.
The only problem with that song is you can never get the words right because they don't. Like he always changes them.
No,
slightly.
You go on Spotify, swipe up, and the lyrics are right there. You and I are.
Did you not? Hey, 54-year-old man, did you not know that that happens on Spotify?
No, but I'm gonna Google it.
Of course, I know.
After I get off.
Yeah.
Of course, I know. Google anything, Chris. You just go on Spotify.
Too fun.
No googling. I got
this. Thank you guys so much.
Thanks so much.
A pleasure. A pleasure, ladies. Thank you.
You guys are awesome. Thank you for having us.
A great one.
No, it was great. Peace and love.
Peace and love.
This is Chris. Thanks again for joining us on this episode of If You've Come This Far.
And this is Sean. Remember to check us out, mnliving.org.